Is there something really absurd that skeeves you out?
Getting a paper cut on my eyeball?
A fear you can't shake?
I'm gonna leak ocular fluid down my cheeks. It's gonna go into my mouth and I will perish.
Whatever scares you, I want to talk about it. Join me, Larry Mullins, on my new podcast, Your Weirdest Fears. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
So my biggest fear is there's going to be snakes in the toilet.
We're all afraid of that one strange thing. I'm Larry Mullins, the host of a new short 10-minute podcast called Your Weirdest Fears. We unpack where these fears come from.
A rat climbed into my toilet.
And learn how to manage them. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there for home loan solutions that fit your life well. Rocket can. Welcome, everybody. Hour number 3 of our radio program coming up an hour, 20 minutes from now. We will be joined by Jets running back Michael Carter. Had a touchdown last week. Jets 6-3 as they enter their bye week. As then coming out of the bye, they will have the New England Patriots, but they were able to beat the Buffalo Bills last weekend. Big time victory, big time come from behind win for the JETS Jets. So Michael Carter going to be stopping by in about a little under 90 minutes or so. But first up, it is week 10 of the NFL season, and a monsoon tonight in Charlotte, North Carolina. You have the Panthers going up against the Atlanta Falcons. So we got to do a little week 10 of this QB or that QB. Now, hot take, Hickey. You did this so perfectly last week. Give you a little disclaimer and your little spiel that you always give before we start this segment.
Well, just for the audience's sake that they know, we are talking about just this week which quarterback would you rather have in this game and this game only. Not for the year, not for the career, not for the season. Just one game, injury status, how they're playing is all taken into account when you're deciding between this QB or that QB.
Now, just to be clear, this is not which QB I definitely think is going to win the game. It's just which QB would I rather have if all things were equal, right?
In this exact matchup, yes.
Okie dokie.
So, for example, let's start with the Thursday night game. PJ Walker versus Marcus Mariota. Which quarterback for this game would you rather have on your team?
And this is personal. Personal. Because we got the T for Temple U former quarterback in PJ Walker. And he played great the last time these two teams matched up. Now, there's going to be a lot of running the football. Both of these quarterbacks could run. The more consistent runner this year has been Marcus Mariota. Now he's got more playing time and more of an opportunity. But I will slightly trust Marcus Mariota more than the great American Athletic Conference winning quarterback, XFL star, and PJ Walker.
Let's go international, Zach. Munich, Germany, to be exact. 9:30 a.m. Eastern kick here on Sunday. Seahawks, Buccaneers. Who would you rather have for this game, Tom Brady or Geno Smith? Again, one game only with how they are playing so far.
Geno Smith.
I was just going to, wow, you're going to do it. Good for you,
Geno Smith. Here's what concerns me. And I am like the biggest Brady fan on the planet. I know I love Tom Brady more than Gisele Bündchen. Let me just say that. Especially these days. The execution and effort debate that they're having. Where Brady thinks it's a lack of effort. Todd Bowles thinks it's a lack of execution. That concerns me a little bit. Like, we all know Brady, by far and away, is a better quarterback than Geno Smith. Brady's the GOAT. But Geno Smith has those guys believe in him right now. I'm not saying Brady doesn't have the Bucs believing in him. But they've just been better this year. And Geno right now is the most accurate quarterback in football. And dare I say it, he's playing like a top five quarterback in the league. He's playing like an MVP candidate. Now, I don't think all the problems are the fault of Brady. The offensive line stinks. And that's usually the root of the problem whenever Tom Brady struggles. But right now, I think the answer is Geno Smith. Ugh. I feel like really dirty just saying that. I feel like Mraz pooping my pants or something like that.
I'll give Andrew Perloff a lot of credit, who I thought said something earlier today was very funny. Geno Smith's going to be like the David Hasselhoff after this game if he plays well. Just an absolute star. And like the people of Germany, they're going to see their first NFL game. If Geno lights it up for like 300 yards, three touchdowns, he's going to be a god. Man, a lot on the line here.
And that's your best pal, Andrew Perloff.
I like Andrew.
You guys are very close. You're rubbing elbows on the flight back from Las Vegas. You guys had a lot of bonding time on that flight.
He's a Pennsylvania guy. He knows a lot about Penn State. I'm a Penn Stater.
Yeah, originally I thought I was a little bit annoyed that I wasn't sitting with you guys because I felt like I was left out of the party and all the fun conversation. But I'll let you two have your conversations because I'm fine on the plane just being by myself and catching up on some Z's. All right, next quarterback.
Sunday, let's go to Orchard Park. Kirk Cousins or an injured right now Josh Allen. His status still for Sunday is unknown, so we'll do a little Josh Allen slash Case Keenum, because for the second straight day earlier today, Josh Allen did not practice.
Well, if everyone was healthy, the clear answer would be Josh Allen. You'd be an idiot, a moron, and a dope to say otherwise. I don't think Josh Allen's playing this week. I don't think Josh Allen's playing next week. I think he'll make his return on that Thursday of Thanksgiving, on Thanksgiving Thursday. So, yeah, I'd rather have Kirk Cousins over Case Keenum. Not even close.
It appears, so we'll go into the assumption that Ryan Tannehill is going to play on Sunday for the Titans. Would you rather have Ryan Tannehill or Russell Wilson?
Can I take neither? Can I go Malik Willis? I would go Russ. Russ has played like crap. I'm not a believer in Ryan Tannehill, though. Henry's just going to be running. I would still run, and then run some more. I would slightly go Russ, but I don't feel great about either.
How about Davis Mills or Daniel Jones?
Oh, not even close. Daniel Jones. In a second. Davis Mills. Remember when people going into this offseason because of the way that Davis Mills played sporadically last year, people thought, oh, Davis Mills, if you actually watch the games, he may have been the best quarterback out of all the quarterbacks that played last year that were rookies. Like, those are some things that I was hearing. Now you turn on a radio station in Houston, everyone's like, oh, Davis Mills stinks, got to get him out, can't win with him, can't have him. They got to go draft a quarterback next year. Not that Daniel Jones is this great quarterback, but he's been playing well this year. And here's one thing I guarantee you. Daniel Jones will have a successful day running the football. And that may be enough for the Giants to take down the Texans. I will, though, say, isn't this the first must-win game this year for the Giants? And what I mean by that, there was no expectations. They were surprising people left and right. Now, if you lose this game to the Texans, I do believe people start to second-guess this team again. Not that anyone actually believes that the Giants are this great team, but I do fully expect the Giants to make the playoffs. And they just lost to the Seahawks, not a bad loss. Then they had their bye week. Coming out of the bye at 6-2, all I'm saying is, and you could still make the playoffs even if you lose this game, but if you lose this game, I think a lot of people start to look at you and go, are you going to start to crumble? The Giants need to win this game because then they get to 7-2. I don't see it any way that they end up missing the playoffs and they get to 7-2.
How about Andy Dalton or Kenny Pickett?
Oh, that's ugly. Kenny Pickett, because of the mobility factor. Andy Dalton now is pretty much a statue. Andy Dalton now, all I could think about are those two interceptions up against the Arizona Cardinals a few weeks ago that were horrible, horrible, horrible throws. I not that Kenny Pickett has been great, but I would give the benefit of the doubt to Kenny Pickett over Andy Dalton.
Mike McCarthy is making his much-anticipated return to Lambeau Field. Quarterback advantage bringing Dak Prescott into Lambeau going against Aaron Rodgers?
Now, we all know Aaron Rodgers is a better quarterback than Dak Prescott. It's not even close. Attitude matters, though. And I don't know what I'm going to get from an attitude level and a compete level from Aaron Rodgers this week. You would think the game would mean something to him, because no matter how much bull crap he gives you and spews this week about how he loves Mike McCarthy, blah, 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 it ended really ugly between those two, and it got really personal. So I'm not saying that Rodgers doesn't want to win, but how quickly do you tap out when things don't go your way, and can you overcome that adversity? Attitude matters to me. I don't know what to expect out of Rodgers right now. He's not... We know Dak is not a better quarterback than Rodgers, but for this week and this week only, I'd rather have Dak.
I'm going to kind of amend a rule here. We're just going to the assumption. I know Matthew Stafford's in concussion protocol, probably won't play, but let's just pretend.
Did you see the things that his wife was posting? And she's been very outspoken about head injuries and how the NFL needs to take that seriously. She was even responding a little bit to the news today. She didn't say that he wasn't going to play from what I saw, but I'd be stunned if he plays.
Let's just pretend he's going to play. Mm-hmm. If this was the case, would you rather have Matthew Stafford or Kyler Murray?
Kyler. Not that I love Kyler, and Stafford is a better quarterback, but both these offenses are struggling, and Stafford's only weapon is to go hit Cooper Kupp. Kyler Murray, he could use his legs as a weapon. And that may be enough to will that team to 17 points and pull out a 17-13 type of win if Stafford was playing. But I'd be surprised, shocked, if Stafford plays.
And let's finish up with this. Jared Goff or Justin Fields?
Justin Fields. The way that Justin Fields has played the last 3-4 weeks, he's starting to turn garbage into gold. Not that the Bears are this great team and they're going to make the playoffs or anything along those lines. But how many times do we ask a young quarterback when they're put in an unfavorable situation to just give me a few moments that you could tangibly hold on to and say, wow, that's our guy. We had this debate with Sam Darnold when Sam Darnold had bad coaching and no real talent around him. Sam Darnold never gave you those 4 or 5 moments where you go, okay, I could see enough to see the light at the end of the tunnel saying this is the guy. Baker Mayfield. Now, in Cleveland, he gave you a playoff moment. Early on in Carolina, wasn't playing well. You get through a lot of these quarterbacks that quickly are in and out of their situations with the team that drafted them. And you have to ask for tangible moments. Justin Fields this year is starting to give you those moments. And you saw last week, he breaks the record, goes for 178 rushing yards. He throws for 3 touchdown passes as well. That's not a roster that's great. Like, I know it's on defense, but they just said goodbye to Robert Quinn. They just also said goodbye to Roquan Smith. And offensively, I know they brought in Chase Claypool, but less than a week to get the playbook understood. Justin Fields took matters into his own hands the last few weeks. And even though he may not be winning all these games, he's showing you, guys, if you surround me with the right pieces, I could be really good. And what I would like to see this offseason is the Bears do what the Eagles and the Dolphins have done the last 2 offseasons. Go get young pieces for your quarterback. You got to go see how great this guy could be. Because right now he's showing you moments, Ryan, where he's saying, I could be good. And look, he's doing that with the roster that is not all that talented.
And you got to give him a lot of credit. He's growing, he's developing, he's looking more comfortable as well. And even when they're not talented whatsoever, he's getting better. And he's slowly starting to show you like why he was one of the top rated quarterbacks coming out of Ohio State. And really just making a case for him to stay long term.
That is this QB or that QB, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Let me remind you that this season, for the first time, you can hear every Westwood One NFL broadcast stream live for free. Mondays, Thursdays, Sunday nights, the International Series, holiday triple headers, and every postseason game. Catch all the action on the Odyssey app on westwoodonesports.com via Westwood One Station Streams or by asking Alexa to open Westwood One Sports, all sponsored by AutoZone. Free battery testing, free battery charging, and replacement batteries that fit your needs. That is what makes AutoZone America's number one battery destination. Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football. Live and on demand. Wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
That's the president of the UFC, Dana White. He makes his triumphant return. Not that he's really been missing or rejecting us anytime we've reached out to him, but he will be joining us on the program tomorrow. I'm attending UFC, I want to say it's 281, I believe, coming up Saturday at the world's most famous arena, Madison Square Garden. The president of UFC said he would come on. So looking forward to that conversation. I have never been to a UFC event in my life. Now, we've had Dana on, we've had a bunch of fighters on, but I can't wait to see Fight Night at Madison Square Garden on Saturday. Now, Hickey, we've been to a lot of sporting events. Has there been a sporting event that you have not gone to that you would love to go to? Is there one out there? Like, let's just, for starters, you've been to a hockey game, right? You've been to a playoff hockey game?
Yes, I have.
Okay. You've been to enough baseball games. You've been to football games. You've been to all these crazy college football games. You've been to basketball games. Like, all the major sports you've been to, correct, Amundo?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Is there a signature event that you have not been to that you would love to go to?
Signature event. I am fascinated and intrigued by going to a NASCAR race and everything that goes around that. Like, Daytona 500, I think I'd definitely be into just for all the atmosphere. F1, I guess, because it's kind of the same thing, same similar vein. So yeah, I'll go NASCAR/F1.
Okay. That would not be on my list, but I had friends that went to an F1 event in Miami and they said it was the biggest party they've ever been to. They said it was one of the coolest things that they've ever been to, but that's not high on my priority list. A few things. Now, I would love to go to a Masters. That would be really neat. Like Masters Sunday, but it's impossible to get in. I believe when the Super Bowl this year is in Arizona, that assuming we go, and it looks like it's trending in that direction, I do think I'm going to the Waste Management Open, which is an awesome event, and it's a big-time, pretty much frat party on a golf course. I'm going to give you a college football one. Now, I've been to a ton of college football games. I've been to this building before. But next year, you know what I have in the works? Thanksgiving weekend next year. The plan right now is to go to Michigan, Ohio State in the Big House next year. So that's one. Other than that, you know what I would love to go to? The Kentucky Derby. Now, I was supposed to go to the Kentucky Derby and then COVID happened. I was supposed to go to a bachelor party at the Kentucky Derby and then COVID happened. They weren't allowing fans in and poof. There went that thought out the window. I don't know how many more opportunities or how many more friends I'm going to have that say, yeah, let's go do a bachelor party at the Kentucky Derby. But I would say Kentucky Derby, I would love to go to Michigan, Ohio State, and I know a Masters is probably not likely, but those are probably three things. You ever been to NCAA tournament game, by the way? I've been to a bunch.
I've been to a women's NCAA tournament game, never men's.
Okay. Final Four, too, would be pretty cool.
That would be very cool.
Have I ever been to? No, I've never been to a Final Four. Been to Stanley Cup Final games. Have been to World Series games. NBA postseason games. Super Bowls. But the first two that I could think of, I'd love to go that I haven't done yet. Kentucky Derby, Michigan, Ohio State in the big house. And you know what would also be great too? SEC. Have you ever been to an SEC? Oh, you have. You just went to Auburn, right?
That's right. Down there. See how they do it. It was cool.
Yeah, but you know what? Against Penn, like, I'm talking about a true SEC football game. You know, get a rivalry in the like an Iron Bowl, let's just say. Or give me Alabama, LSU, like something like that. That would probably be on the bucket list as well. So we got some things that we have to cross off before it's all said and done. Now, I don't think I'm going anywhere anytime soon. I'm only 28 years old, but we got some big events that we need to go to throughout the years. Final Four, though, would be cool, too. But I don't know. I feel like Final Four may be better because you're in a football stadium. Watch it on television. Now, I'll tell you this year. When March Madness happens, I'll go down to AC and go to one of the sports books to go watch the March Madness games this year. That was a great setup down at AC at the Borgata that I did on this past Sunday when I was on that bachelor party. We were in the sports book. $75 minimum is what you had to spend, and you were sitting there from 1 to 4. You got all this food, all these drinks. It was a great time. To watch all the watching college basketball there must be awesome during the NCAA tournament. Anyway, NFL MVP odds. Going to throw some out there. You think likely or unlikely? Patrick Mahomes, plus 200.
Very likely.
Yeah, I would say right now he should win the award, and that's why he's the betting favorite. Josh Allen, before the injury and the loss to the Jets, I think this would be very likely. Now with the ambiguity around when he's actually going to be coming back, plus 225, likely or unlikely for Josh Allen to win the MVP?
I'll still say likely.
Really? I'm going unlikely now. Because if he misses two games, I think that's going to take away from him winning, when you get into tiebreakers, him winning the MVP. Now, if it's only two, you may still have a chance, but I would say it's unlikely now. And I would think, would you agree with what I've been saying? That he misses this weekend, and then the following Sunday, they have a game up against the Browns. He probably misses that one too. And then they have him return on that Thursday against the Detroit Lions. Because they have that turnaround of playing on that. Like, you don't think he's playing this weekend, right? Let me just ask you that first.
I don't.
Okay. So then to have him play against the Browns with how we don't really know what this injury is other than an elbow injury. To have him play on Sunday against the Browns and then have a quick turnaround and throw the football a bunch against the Lions on Thanksgiving Day, that doesn't really make all that much sense to me. So I think he's out the next two games would be my thought. You?
I say three. I wouldn't even play him on Thanksgiving.
Well, the NFL's not going to be happy with you. Oh, well, so then you important? Have him returning against my team when I'm going to the game, Bills and Patriots?
You'll be rusty by that point, so you're welcome.
Well, I don't know about that. I think he's going to come on out there and then kick our ass. If you have 3 weeks of Josh Allen rested.
Oh, it's going to be on Bill then. Let's see what you got dialed up there.
It's going to be on Bill. Bill could go pick him off two, three times. If they can't score, they can't score.
Well, Bill also couldn't get one stop last year. So
yeah, well, they did beat him once last year.
They didn't. Now, Mother Nature needs to intervene.
Oh, I don't want to hear excuses.
No, this is
true. I don't want to hear excuses.
I give the Patriots a lot of credit for that.
Did they win or lose the game? They won the game.
Patriots won.
Good.
By an act of
finish. God. Stop. Jalen Hurts, plus 250. Likely or unlikely to win the MVP?
Likely.
Yeah, because that, at most, the Eagles are going to have two losses. I really don't see at this rate how the Eagles have any more than two losses. And even if you want to say, okay, maybe we miss one, then you're talking about three losses at most for the Philadelphia Eagles. And with the way that Hurts is running and distributing the football as well, he's going to have a good chance. Lamar Jackson at plus 900, likely or unlikely to win the MVP?
I'll still say likely.
Because he's their entire team. And if they go win that division, you will get more of you'll get a later push for Lamar Jackson to win the MVP. Okay, I'll give you a few more names. Joe Burrow right now, you get him at plus 2,000 to win the MVP. I would say that's unlikely for Joe Burrow to win the MVP. Just too much inconsistency. He's great, but too much inconsistency with the Bengals.
Yeah, I would agree. They should have the offensive weapon to do so, but not enough consistency.
Also plus 2,000, your guy, Tua Tagovailoa, likely or unlikely to win MVP?
I'm going to go likely. I think he's definitely in the mix.
So the argument would be every game that he started and finished so far, they have won. And then without
correct.
Him, any game that he did not start or finish, they have not won.
0-3.
When I think of that team first, though, is he the first guy that you think of? Because the first guy I think of is Tyreek Hill, who's on pace to have just a monster, monster, monster season. I'm not downgrading the importance of Tua Tagovailoa, but when why I would go unlikely is I don't think he's going to win the division. But B, I think of Tyreek Hill first. That's just the way when I view the Miami Dolphins.
Well, who's throwing the ball?
Tua, sure.
Why can't he get the love?
When you think of that team first, you think of Tua?
I do.
Okay.
They're undefeated when he's played. That should show you right there. His importance, right?
Now, if Tyreek Hill's not on that team, how are they doing?
Pretty close. Maybe one loss, but I mean,
you think Tyreek Hill's only a one loss difference?
Yeah. You think he's that crazy?
Yeah.
Tua's playing really well.
Not taking anything away from Tua. Tua has been great. He's been phenomenal. But if that's just Jalen Waddle there,
what's the record then?
I think they have at least two more losses. That's how great Tyreek Hill has been. Tyreek Hill's been sensational. And for a lot of years, I don't know about you, we've talked about Tyreek Hill, and for whatever the reasons are, he hasn't always been the easy pick to be a top five wide receiver. He's clearly showing now without Patrick Mahomes why he is a top five receiver in the sport and may be the best wide receiver in the sport. Geno Smith, likely or unlikely at plus 2,500.
I will go unlikely.
Yeah, he's going to win comeback player of the year, though. And then I'll give you two more. What do you think, by the way? I'll give you one more, but what do you think the odds are for Tyreek Hill to win MVP?
10,000.
No, receivers never won an MVP. Yeah, you're dead on.
Wow.
Plus 10,000.
Not bad.
Now, is he the first? He's the first non-quarterback in terms of best odds. Justin Jefferson's right after him, plus 12,500. And then Derrick Henry's at plus 15,000. So, one more I'll give you. Kirk Cousins, plus 5,000.
Unlikely.
What happens if they have... What happens to the number one overall seed? What happens if they have two losses? Philadelphia gets the three losses.
He's in the mix. I see how he's playing. But yeah, it's tough in the conversation without a doubt. He's 15-2.
But who's the first player that you think of when you think of the Minnesota Vikings? It's not Kirk Cousins, right? For me, it's Justin Jefferson. Who's the first player that you think of? Minnesota.
I guess, but I don't really know what that has to do with MVP.
I'm just asking.
Like, Justin Jefferson's a better player, but the quarterback's going to get the credit. Like you mentioned, there's never been a wide receiver that's ever won the award. So you can think Tyreek Hill or Justin Jefferson, but yeah, like realistically, it's going to be Kirk Cousins for the MVP.
But the point
race.
Is, if you don't think of the quarterback first, he's then probably not going to win the MVP award. That's the point that I'm making with that.
Well, you're 15-2. He's going to win the MVP or top three, right? Wouldn't you say?
I don't know.
They throw
that.
The ball.
I don't know about that because people then are going to look at it and say, oh, Justin Jefferson's more. I would think that if you tell me there's going to be an MVP from the Vikings, and I'm cognizant of the fact that there's been no wide receiver ever to win the MVP award, I would think it would be Justin Jefferson instead of Kirk Cousins. It is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. And if you're going to win an MVP, you got to be the first player that you think of when you're on your team if you're going to be the MVP of the entire league.
Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back with our awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today.
What makes your skin crawl? No matter how absurd, I want to know.
Tails without fur on them, such as rats or possums.
I'm Larry Mullins, the host of a new podcast called Your Weirdest Fears. You send me your fear.
I'm just so weirded out about the texture and how they can just move around and flop.
And then I go to the experts to learn how to overcome them. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about.
like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to. So get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. Did you see the one report in South Florida? Hot take, Hickey?
Two questions. Number one, is this real? Verified, are we sure?
Looks verified to me.
Then no, I've not seen it.
This is from also from a day ago. But people have then since commented on it. It's from a host that works at WDAE. I don't have the host names up in front of me. But that's a radio station in Tampa. John Gruden, if he wants the South Florida job, there are boosters that are ready to write the check for John Gruden. How about that one? Now, I've always said John Gruden... And then, right, there's been rumors for all those years Tennessee was going to get John Gruden. Anytime the Tennessee job was open, I feel as if someone placed John Gruden with the Tennessee job. Now, with all that happened in the demise with the Raiders and then what happened even before he even got there with the emails that were leaked, if he wants to be a coach again, and you know how this works, coaches are addicts. They're addicted to coaching. So if he still wants to coach, and he took 10 years off, let me remind you, but he got that coaching fix in the broadcast booth working for Monday Night Football. John Gruden is ever going to be a head coach again in the NFL. But if he wants to maybe, I don't know if restore the image is the right way, but get that fix again in coaching, kind of seems like a job like USF would be the job that he would have to go to, which is wild to say for a guy that was once that highly thought of and that great of a coach who really... displayed that he was a little bit overrated or a lot overrated. It seems if he needs to resurface, it would be that job at USF. It's not crazy when you actually hear it, right?
I mean, it makes sense it's not surprising that UCF or USF, excuse me, wants to go down that route, but
that would be great for them, for that university.
To get some attention. I don't know if John Green's any good of a coach anymore, to be honest, or a good recruiter, or a good college coach, but hey.
But if you bring in the right staff that will do the heavy duty recruiting and all that, and he's kind of like a CEO guy, I don't think it would be a bad hire whatsoever.
And bring attention to him. And kind of gets on the map. USF has been kind of a doormat and a dumpster fire for a long time now, so. Yeah, it's one way to get relevance. You're not going to do it by winning games, which they haven't been recently.
They used to be good when they have, I remember watching the guy.
Quinton Flowers,
and then Marlon Mack was there. Trust me, I'm well-versed in my history with the South Florida Bulls.
A long time since they were like number two in like 2008 once.
Now, the same report also says that the Bulls are expected to place a call for Scott Frost. Which is that the spot where Scott Frost had a lot of success at UCF, we know, in the American. I don't think Scott Frost is getting a major Power 5 job anytime soon. I'm just going to go on a limb by saying that. Can he get a lesser Power 5 job?
Yeah, South Florida. Or I guess it's
that's
American,
not Power
but...
5, though. That's Power 6. Come on.
Like... trying to think here. Who?
Like, for example,
I don't know. Like, Indiana, maybe.
So it's a bad comparison because it's still in the Big Ten. But, like, when Brett Bielema took over Illinois, can he get a job like that where a program just been bad for 4 or 5 years and you go out and you bring in a guy like Scott Frost? Can that be one of those jobs that he gets?
Possibly. I honestly would maybe think that even USF. Where they are in the talent and the recruiting talent he had at UCF and the success there, that maybe even better job, to be honest.
And Willie Simmons is also a 1B candidate per this report from WDAE. That is the Florida A&M coach, which is FCS. So those are the names there. Now, I will give you a little update on the Nebraska job. Now, this is from Football Scoop. Did you hear about the two names that are currently hot on the Nebraska job?
Ooh, I have not.
You're really plugged in. Mr. College Football, the most knowledgeable person here at the network when it comes to college football. You've really been grinding on these coaching searches.
I have. Big time, as you could tell.
Per sources, this is from Football Scoop, both in the college coaching ranks and in the industry, Nebraska is continuing to heavily vet both current and former head coaches with a pair of former Big 12 skippers. You want to take a guess who the former two Big 12 head coaches are that are currently names and players in this Nebraska coaching search, according to Football Scoop.
Kevin Sumlin?
No.
Hmm. Big 12, I guess A&M was SEC, but I think he was there when they moved. Don't tell me it's Bob Stoops.
No.
Big one Gary Patterson.
Get. Wow, that's the one that I thought you would not get. But yes, Gary Patterson, the former TCU coach who got fired, and now Sonny Dykes has taken over and has done a wonderful job. They're undefeated.
Now this is gonna.
I actually don't think Gary Patterson would be a bad hire.
Agreed.
He's consistent. He's a good coach. And for Nebraska, you just need someone to steer you in the right direction. Gary Patterson can do that. However, when I look at the Nebraska job, he's 62. I know for some coaches, you could be a young 62. Don't you think at Nebraska, now that's a reputable name, that's a good name, that's a solid name, and he could do well there. Wouldn't you think you're looking for a younger name, though, if you're Nebraska?
Yes, but also where you are, I don't think it's the worst in the world to try to build towards stability first for 3 or 4 years and then kind of get the guy that could take you to the next level. Because they've been down.
And he
down
can build. There's no doubt about that.
Try to go 0 to 100. It has not worked.
You don't know who the other Big 12 coach is.
I have two thoughts. Is he currently coaching right now? Like currently employed and will coach a game this weekend?
No.
Matt Rhule?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say Cliff Kingsbury.
Really? Oh. Imagine Cliff Kingsbury in Nebraska?
No, I can't.
That's not a fit for either.
I agree. But you said former Big 12 coach.
Nothing
my mind
against
went.
The people of Nebraska, but I think like GQ when I think of Cliff Kingsbury. I'm not thinking of Nebraska.
Well, unfortunately, GQ is on a football team, so it's the issue for Cliff there.
Gary Patterson and Matt Rhule among those continuing to receive their due diligence from the Huskers search. There's another name that they list in this report. Now, this one, if you get... I would be shocked, would be absolutely stunned if you get this one.
Okay, so I'm going to need some sort of hints or clues.
Not a Big 12 coach. It's not a Big 12 coach currently.
He's currently a head coach?
He is currently a head coach with one of the academies.
Troy Calhoun, Air Force.
No. Now, the coach that's always rumored is Ken Niumatu-Lolo with Navy.
So it's Jeff Monken.
Yes. Jeff Monken at Army is no stranger to the Midwest, continues to be an additional name that's circulating enough to continue to monitor Monken's consistent success and at levels Army has not seen in decades, continue to be a topic of respect among his peers. So that's the latest from Football Scoop on the Nebraska job. Gary Patterson, Matt Rhule, those are two guys that they're continuing to heavily vet. And then Jeff Monken's a name that's popping up as well.
Maybe that's how Nebraska win games. Triple option. Play a style that no one is ready for.
Well, it kind of makes sense that those are the three names that are popping up. Rhule would be the sexiest name of the three, right? He's the mix of the young coach that has had sustained success in college. I know the NFL was a disaster, but in college, he built up Temple and won. At Baylor, took over a disastrous situation and won. Now, in terms of longevity, no one could touch Gary Patterson between those three names, and Monken's well-respected. I would say Rhule probably moves the needle the most in college coaching circles. But if you look at the three, I don't know if Matt, first off, I don't know if Matt is going to be coaching next year. I just don't. It may behoove Matt Rhule to take a year off and go do TV where he'll be fine on TV, take a year away, and you had so many big jobs that were open last year, LSU, Notre Dame, you could go to Oklahoma last year with the jobs that were open, USC. There's so many big jobs that were open last year where now, not that these jobs aren't good jobs that are open, but you may want the market to reset and go through another hiring cycle if you are a hot commodity. Like Gary Patterson, who definitely is deserving of another job. You don't know how many more jobs you're going to get offered at the age of 62. For Monken, you have to have everything go on your terms to leave a place like Army where it's clearly a stable situation for Jeff Monken. If those are the three names, and if you had to guess out of those three names which way they go, who do you think then would be the hire? Patterson, Rule, Monken, in terms of the university has to be interested and they have to be interested back in the university. Who do you think would be the most likely between those three?
I still would say Matt Rule. I think it's still like good. Nebraska is a good job with a massive fan base where you get that thing rolling, you'll be a Midwest hero. So I will say Matt Rule.
Okay. I'm going to say Patterson. I'm going to say Gary Patterson. That would be my guess right there. And I don't think Matt, by the way, is going to be going, like, conference-wise, you're right. He seems to me like a Big Ten, Big 12 type of coach. I'm not thinking that he's going to the SEC and taking the Auburn job if he was offered the Auburn job. That's just me. So that's where we're currently at with these coaching searches right now. But from Football Scoop, Gary Patterson, Matt Rule, and Jeff Monken have been some of the names that they're doing their due diligence on at Nebraska. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. If I'm Nebraska, though, you know who should be on that list? Deion Sanders. I think you may get the best of all worlds if you bring in Deion Sanders. The excitement will be off the charts. Everyone will genuflect to him. The personality is captivating. And he would bring a ton of excitement to that program. I really hope. And my preference would be seeing Deion Sanders in the SEC. I think I predicted a few weeks ago that the Auburn job will go to Lane Kiffin and then Deion Sanders will go take over for Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss. And that gets him in the SEC. If you're Nebraska, I would be doing everything in my power for a job that needs some excitement and a job that has been not the way that it once was, and it's now looked at as a job that we even have these discussions of, oh, is it even this great job anymore? I would really be on board for Deion Sanders. I just keep on circling back to that name, that if I'm an athletic director that's looking to make a splash, I don't know how you make a, you know, realistically, how you can make a bigger splash than Deion Sanders. Like Lane Kiffin is a splash. If you're in the SEC, Hugh Freeze is a splash. But nothing to me tops Deion Sanders, maybe Lane, in terms of the splash that you could make. But if you're a job like Nebraska, that's obviously the Big Ten, I think Deion should be on that list. And I think Deion would be really, really good.
I think the tough part about that is what I'm interested in seeing is not if Deion Sanders can recruit, because obviously we know he's a very good, yes, you know, persuader. All his roots are in the Southeast. Atlanta, Florida, he's now at Jackson State, Alabama. He has zero Midwest ties. You could try to pull these kids out of the Southeast and bring them to the Midwest. I think it's a really, really, really tough undertaking. I wonder if, because like it's tougher to recruit there compared to wait for the SEC.
He would have a line of people that would be willing to join him initially. Now, how sustainable that is, that's one thing. But I think he's one of those guys, if you build it and everywhere he's gone, he's had success, you know, professionally, and then now entering this coaching world, this is one stop. I think if you build it, they'll come for Deion Sanders. I really do. It is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We'll come on back. We'll do a little apex of some controversial NFL teams.
Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today.
Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.